Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been very blessed being here this morning already. Thank you for the thoughts that were shared by those committing, David and Laura and Lily. I very much am blessed with what I see God doing in your lives and am encouraged and just a tremendous blessing. I also was blessed with Aaron's thoughts to the children. It's not just to the children, it was to me as well. It's a trap that we can easily fall into, holding someone above another. And in God's eyes, that's not right. He mentioned about some mentally handicapped. This is something that happened to me some years ago. I mean, I didn't make fun of this young lady. And if I would mention her name, I don't know her name, but if I would tell you who it was, some of you would know her. But this young lady, we were at a handicap gathering, and this young lady, I've seen her many times before, and I always just, there's something that just, I don't know, it just caused me to stop and gaze at her. Not making fun of her, but just, anyhow, there was something there that I just, my eyes just wouldn't want to leave her. And what it was, she was on a wheelchair and she had no control over her body whatsoever. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't sit up. Her hands and feet were just, she had no control. And that day, a bishop, an Amish bishop, got up and he had a letter that this girl wrote. She wrote it with her head. She had a keyboard that she used and she had something mounted on her head and she had it wrote out with her head. And I'll never forget it. She says she knows she's very, very sharp in her mind. She knows that she's different. She knows that. And she doesn't mind if people look at her. But if they could at least give her a smile as they stare at her, would be a blessing. That has changed the way I've looked at people. And it was very sobering to me. I had no idea that she even had a right mind. So, God help us. If we could rise for prayer, it would be a blessing. Our great Heavenly Father, as we bow here before you this morning, we thank you again. We know that you are here. We've sensed you being here with us already. Lord, we're so blessed that you, even the thoughts of the opening, that you care for us, that you love us, the great God of heaven and earth. Lord, what a tremendous privilege. What an awesome privilege that this is. We thank you, O God. We bless you and praise you, Father, that we have this privilege and opportunity to gather with your people here today and to worship and praise you. Father, this morning, we pray that you would continue to change our lives, continue to mold us and make us more into your glorious image, O Father. Father, we do ask now that you would take these lips of mine, take my thoughts, everything that is here, Lord, and just use it for your glory. I just want to be a vessel in your hands. So, Lord, may your name be lifted up and exalted as we go through this message here, Lord. May you be lifted up and may we all be encouraged to continue to press on to that mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Father. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like to start by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It is something that has been on my heart for a long time, and I know what I believe about it, but it's a little hard for me to express it. And so I do trust and pray that the Spirit of God will make it alive in our hearts, and that He would clarify anything that is not clear coming out of my mouth in your hearts. I want that to be done. I stammer a lot. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Are ye not carnal? Sorry. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Ye are Christ. Christ is God's. He starts out in this chapter by saying that the Corinthians, that they are still carnal. He says that there's envy and strife and divisions among them. And they must have been arguing over Paul and Apollos and their roles of what different things that they were arguing about. But Paul tells them that him and Apollos have different roles, and God brings the increase, not Paul or Apollos. Then we get to verse 8. And he says, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, you are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. Every man or woman shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9 tells us why. We are laborers with God. We are God's husbandry or field. We are God's building. And Paul goes on to describe, or Paul goes on in this chapter using the idea of the building, laboring together with God. And so we want to look at that this morning. Laboring, or the building, God's building. Verse 10, he tells us, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, thereupon. Paul says he's the wise master builder and has laid the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And we are to be building. The question that I have this morning, what are we to be building? What are you building at all? What are you building with? Verse 12 starts telling us, time is coming when fire will try our building. He tells us to take heed how we build. So what are we building? Are you building? Are you and I building? The answer is yes. The next question then is, what are you building? What materials are you using to build with? It doesn't tell us, it's not quite clear here what he's telling us, maybe that we are building. But I think that if we take other scriptures here, that it'll become clear what he is wanting us to build. Hebrews chapter 3, the first six verses. I want to read. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, the man Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as his servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is his son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Here in verse 6 he tells us, whose house are we? Or in today's English, we are his house. We are to be the house of God. He said in Corinthians, know ye not that you are the temple of God? So we are to be the habitation for God. We are the temple of God. But I want to pull out a few more verses here that might help us to see what we are to be building. So I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last verse, and go on into chapter 5 to verse 11. Verse 18 of chapter 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Everything we see here is temporal. It's going to vanish away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle or this body were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us from the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done unto his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. I trust that are made manifest into your consciences. So he starts out by saying that the things that we see, anything that we see is temporal. They're not going to last. Nothing here, nothing that we see has a lasting value to it. There's just nothing here. You see my body? The body is going to die. It's going to be put into a grave, and it's going to go back to earth where it was taken from. It's temporal. And because everything that we see is temporal, he's saying in chapter 5, verse 1, that if our earthly house, if this body, the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our soul will not die. It can't die. But there is a house in the heavens not made with hands, eternal. Paul says, but because he knows it, he groans earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon, he tells us. Where is this house that we are? Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to try to show you that we're building a house. Not a house with 2x4s. And a roof and shingles and all these other things, but we are building a house. And we're building it we are not the ones necessarily putting it together, but we are the ones that supply the material. God puts it together. We're building a house. And it's going to be an eternal house. Have you and I started laying up material for this eternal house? Because if we don't lay up material for this eternal house today, you'll be found naked in eternity, according to these verses we read. So it's today. We provide today the things for the things that God will build this house with today. We provide them today. Now, we obviously can't make anything. But the way our works, the things that we do and the things that we do not do are the things that go up before God, up to glory before us. It says to be clothed upon. And that word clothed upon means to invest upon oneself. To invest upon oneself. We will go back to 1 Corinthians then. But there he tells us, take heed how you build. Take heed on how you build. Because every man's building will be tried by fire. Every man's building will be tried by fire. It doesn't mean that the building can be 100% gone, and it says, yet you can be saved, yet so by fire. I don't totally understand that. But we have a habitation in heaven that we are to be building now if we're going to be clothed upon when we get there. Here it says, clothed upon, that we be not found naked. He tells us in verse 3. Jesus told us that In John 14, he's going to go to prepare a place for us. Obviously, it wasn't prepared yet. Why isn't it not prepared? Because it's up to you and I what is there. He says there's many mansions there. And that word mansions is not necessarily houses, but there's a lot of residents there. But we must realize unless we send Him the material, we will be found naked in eternity. We only have a few moments in this life to build a house eternal in the heavens. We want to talk a little later on the materials that we use to build the house. But here we are building a house. You are building yours, and I'm building mine. I cannot build yours, and you cannot build mine. And yet we need each other. We need each other. I cannot make a house for my children. They have to build their own house. It is totally up to them. So how's your house coming along? What does your house look like? Is your house going to stand the fire that is going to test it? Or will you be found, or will you be naked throughout all of eternity? You know, depending on where we live in life, depends a little bit. You know, if I would go and read this scripture in Bolivia, they would not vision a house like we live in. It looks different. And so, what this house is going to look like in glory, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. But because of what we grow up in, we vision houses differently. So I can't tell you what this house is going to look like. I don't know. I don't know how big it is. I don't know what it's like. But He's telling us that we're building. We're building a house. The fact is, whether we live in Bolivia, whether we live in Africa, whether we live in Asia, or any other country, if we send the right materials, Jesus Christ will put it together rightly. We know that. So today, it's not as important that I can tell you exactly how this house will look like as it is what kind of materials that we're sending ahead. Let's look at verse 1 again. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He is telling us that we all know that our earthly or that our physical body, the tabernacle, will go to nothing. There's none of us that doubt that. We've seen too many deaths. That we all know that we all have the same way to go. We all know that. Verse 2, he goes on and says, because we know this, we groan. And groan here means we're in straits. We sigh. We murmur. We pray inaudibly with grief. Is that our testimony? That's what he tells us here. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon, earnestly desiring to prepare a house for eternity. Now we know that God has prepared a place for all those that love Him. But the thing still remains is that you and I play a big part in what will be there when you and I get there. We groan because we can't speak. Do you and I groan for our eternal home? Or are we at home here? He goes on and says, earnestly desiring to dote upon. That is intensely crave possession. It means to lust. Do we crave to be with God? Craving to be clothed upon? Why? Or will we be found naked? Are you investing in God's kingdom? What portion that you don't need to live upon, does it go to God's kingdom? You know, when the widow threw in her two mites, why could Jesus say that she gave more than all the rest? I mean, we know that there was some there that put in far more dollar value than this poor lady did. Why could he say that she gave more than all the rest? John. It hurt. Gave all she had. You know that God will not judge us by what we give. He will judge us by what we do not give. God will not judge us by what we give, but rather what we do not give. By the way, the same with this building, our eternal house. It is not just what I invest, but it is what I don't invest that will hinder. Verse 3 tells us, if so be that being clothed upon, you be not found naked. What will it be for us? Are we burdened, as it says in verse 4, not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon? Burdened that we have not invested more in God's kingdom? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, a familiar verse, we all know it very well, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? You can probably tell me better where my treasure is than I can myself. Why? Because of what I talk about, the things that I do, what makes me tick. I can tell you all about where my treasure is, but that does not matter. It is what I am doing that tells you where my treasure is. Is it eternity with God? Is that what you and I are investing? What you and I are investing in is where our treasure is. In my last 10 purchases, in your last 10 purchases, have you talked to God about them? Do my last 10 last purchases or your 10 last purchases, do they talk about me, or do they talk about the necessities of life and God's kingdom? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is there anything that you just could not sell today? Why not? Is your heart hanging on to it? You know, it is very, when we die, it's easy to leave it all behind. That's we all expect to do that. But today, could you go and put a for sale sign on everything that you have? Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. The thing that we cannot sell indicates that we still have a treasure. We look at the rich young ruler that Jesus told him to go sell everything that you have and follow me. And we say, foolish. Really? I'm not sure that I'm any better. I'm no different if I'm not willing to forsake it all. Now, we do need things in life. God is, Aaron talked about homeless people living under the bridge. Is that what God wants for us? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not what I'm saying. But are you available for whatever God has for you? If God is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. So we're building a house today. I'm building mine. You're building yours. But we need each other. You're not going to get your house built by yourself. It's not going to happen. What does your house look like? Is it just big enough for you to squeeze in? Or how is it? When God's fire comes, what will be left? a heap of ashes? When God's fire comes to reveal your work, will you suffer loss? Will you be naked in eternity? Sometimes we can be running around doing lots of good things, but not the things that God has called us to. What do you think your house will look like when God's fire has tried your work? Are we encouraging one another's brothers? Or are we nitpicking each other's work? How is it with us? Am I here in my life? Am I here trying to encourage you all? Or do I have my magnifying glass out trying to figure out what all you're doing wrong? When a brother comes to you with something in your life, do you thank him for his concern and look at it seriously? Or do you just get aggravated? He's just picking on me again. Are you helping your brother or are you hindering him? It goes the same for sisters. Again, I'm building my house, you're building yours. Jesus shows us that by the 10 virgins. There was no oil for the 5 foolish that the 5 wise could spare and give to them. And yet, we need each other. We need each other. We like to have all our bills paid for and some left in the bank for reserve. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm not judging anyone for any of that. The question I have you laid up for you in the heavens for eternity? That should be our greatest concern. Have we laid up for ourselves for in eternity? I cannot earn my salvation. It is impossible. But yet, God is asking us to build a house, and it will be tried by fire. Verses 6 to 8, it tells us, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm sorry. Are you fine in this body? Would it be fine if you just spend eternity in this body? I mean, if you'd have a choice, would it be all right if this body you could just spend eternity here? Sometimes we act that way, don't we? We all know it is impossible for us to do that. We sing the song occasionally, "This world is not my home." Can people see that this world is not my home? Can you tell me that my home is not in this world by the way I live? I can tell you that, but do my actions show that? We get so focused on things in life, like we're planning to just stay here. Are we confident that when this body is laid down, that reality begins? When this body is laid down, nothing more will change. What I mean by that, I believe there's a lot of things that are happening constantly in heaven, but there's no more changing destinations. There's no more things that I can do or not do for what will go on in eternity. It all happens. Reality really begins when this body is laid down to death. That is what real reality is. Verse 90 tells us, wherefore, what is that wherefore, therefore? Wherefore we labor. Why do we labor? We labor because this tabernacle is going to get laid in a grave. And I have an eternal home in the heavens to prepare before I die. If I don't prepare it today while I am living, I will be found naked throughout eternity, or in hell for eternity. And because we know this, we groan and earnestly desire, and are burdened because we want to be clothed upon. We don't want to be found naked in eternity. Because of this, we are laborers. We labor. We labor. The word labor here is, it means work. It means striving. And it also means studying. What are we laboring, striving, and studying for? The verse tells us what we should be. The last part it says, that we may be accepted of Him, of Christ. Is that our labor? Is that my strivings? Is that my studyings? What area in my life, in your life, is God not allowed to touch? Or is God allowed to touch any area of your life? What you and I are not willing to give up. What are you not willing to give up to be accepted by God? Are you and I striving to be accepted of God? Are we studying to be accepted of God? What shows us what God accepts and what don't? It's right here. How much time do I spend studying to find out what that really is? That's building your spiritual house. That is what the building is about. It's not hammer and nails, 2x4s and so on. It's striving to know what God wants from our life. Or do you and I really not care? Nobody can really touch my life. You know, if that is my attitude, we have no eternal hope. Is everything you and I have accepted by God? Or maybe I need to get rid of things. Is everything that you and I have, is God pleased with it? Or is there something in my life, in your life, that God wants us to get rid of? I'm not preaching at you. These are things that God is doing in here. Verse 10, He tells us what is going to be judged. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done to his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What is God going to judge? Is it my faith? Is it God's grace? No, it's our works. It's the things that we have done. It's what we have done that will be judged. Listen to the Amplified version of verse 10. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay, or according to what he has done in his body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been, and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself and his attention to accomplish. I thought it brought it out very well. Because we know this, it tells us in verse 11, we persuade men. We persuade men. The terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord is, because we know that, we persuade men. I had to think of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This changed Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now look at the vision that Isaiah saw. And when he saw that vision, his heart melted within him. The thing that I want us to see is God is not a respecter of persons like we heard this morning. If you and I want to get a hold of God and see Him the way Isaiah saw Him, maybe we won't see this picture, but if we want a glimpse of Him, He will give us a glimpse of Him. And it will change us, just like it did Isaiah. Listen to what he saw, and then listen to the response when he saw it. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. Twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What happened when he saw it? He saw what kind of a miserable wretch that he really was. And you and I will do the same. Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon the mouth and said, Lo, this I have touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. If you and I would get a glimpse of that throne and the things going on in glory, I think we would have the same. We would say the same thing as Isaiah did. But why don't we see it? My desires, my agendas get in the way of really seeing God's glory and God's throne and God's heart. I get in the way. The things that I chase after. If I would get a glimpse, it would change everything about me. It changed Isaiah. He says, Here am I, send me. Would to God each one of us, each one of our hearts would see a glimpse and would be able to say that. The question is, send me where? Send me where? To the couple down the road living in adultery, telling them of their sin. We seeing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, right? Or have we not really grasped that? Send me where? To that old religious person that is trusting his lifestyle to save him. Send me where? To your brother, to my brother who is struggling with sin, to help him overcome. Send me where? To the prisons, to the widows, to the fatherless. Send me where? To the next church outreach we start. Send me where? Bolivia. And show them the love of Christ. Isaiah says, Here am I, send me. What will you and I say? Will you be found naked in eternity? If God is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And I know we have different callings. But God doesn't just all want us to sit right here. I mean, the fellowship is sweet. I think of the song often. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go? It doesn't mean we all go to Bolivia. That's not what it means. But surely some. Here am I, send me. Is that the attitude of my heart? Can God call you to go anywhere? Anywhere? That attitude that shows that God is Lord of all. Remember, we're building a house. God has the blueprint for your life, and God has the blueprint for my life. Your blueprint and my blueprint look different. We do not all have the same callings. God is not going to make us do all the same things. God is not going to call us to go visit all the same houses. God is not going to call us to go visit all the same widows or going into prisons. But He's going to call us to do something. He has the blueprint for your life, and He has the blueprint for my life. We do not get to choose our calling. God has chose the calling for us. God has the blueprint in His hand. Are you sending Him the materials according to His blueprint for your life? Or do you have a better idea? I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 3. When there's envy and strife and divisions, when the fire of God tries our house, will that stand? Will that stand? If I have a grudge against a brother, or I have envy in my heart towards my brother, or a neighbor, or whoever it might be, how, when the fire of God comes to try my house, how will it be? I'm going to start in verse 8. He starts out by telling us that we're equal. The planter and the water, as long as they are fulfilling the call of God in their lives, they're equal. The one who stands up here and the one who never gets to stand up here in God's eyes are equal as long as they're doing what they're called to do. There's no one in God's mind that is greater than the other one. He just desires faithfulness in the things that He has called us to do. We don't choose our calling, but we can choose to be faithful in our calling. We might not feel qualified. We feel like others can do it better. But when we get to glory, are we going to be clothed upon or are we going to be naked? We all will receive rewards for our labor, it tells us. In verse 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You will have a reward for your labor, and I will have a reward for my labor. What I have done, I will be rewarded with, good or bad. It's not just the good things, it's the evil things as well. We will all receive rewards for our labors. You and I have a say in what them rewards might be. I don't know what they are, but we have a say on it's a reward. What your work is, if you're faithful in the work that God has given you to do, you can't say that, well, I want such and such a reward. But you choose, in another sense, you do choose your reward. I don't know if that makes sense or not. By our deeds, we choose our rewards. Good rewards or bad rewards. We choose our rewards by the deeds of our life. Not by our faith, but by our works. Now we need faith to build, or it won't happen. We need grace to. We need God's grace to build, or it is useless. But our works show us the kind of grace and the kind of faith that I have. You do not have any other kind of faith or grace that you claim to have than the actions that come from your life. Neither do I. The actions that come from my life clearly, plainly show you what kind of faith I have and about God's grace in my heart. It's inseparable. Our works, not our words, will prove it. Verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We heard a little bit about that from Brother Allen this morning. Imagine that. Laborers together with God. He tells us that in verse 9. We are laborers together with God. The God that has made heaven and earth, and you and I, took dirt, took earth from the ground and breathed in it, and it can walk around. Amazing. And you and I get to be laborers together with God. Absolutely amazing. It's mind-boggling to me. We're laborers together with Him. Let's imagine a few things. We're looking at God's blueprint, and we're putting up a house. And that is what we're doing. God has the blueprint. You and I can't alter that blueprint. We can, but it won't go right. What happens, I look at this blueprint, and I say, I don't want my front door right here. I want it over here. What do you think will happen? There's one of two things that happens. Either I go ahead and do it, or then I get on my face before God until I surrender my heart and life and I say, yep, this is where the door goes. But if I decide to just go ahead and move it, and I still build the house, I tear the house back down right to where I was, right to where I left the blueprint, and I start over, or I won't go nowhere with God. We have to follow God's blueprint. He has a blueprint, and we get to follow it, or then we get to suffer loss, be found naked. When you and I decide what we want, how we want this thing to go, when God's fire comes, what will it look like? Because the fire will come. We all know what will happen. We all know the answer. If you and I's heart is like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me," you can build with confidence, knowing if you don't get it right, that God will show you. You know, I don't want to put fear in your hearts today that I hope I get it right. Now listen, God is a God of great love and mercy. If your heart is like Isaiah's, "Here am I, send me, tell me what to do and I will gladly do it," He will also show you when you do it wrong. He will show you when you do it wrong. But if my heart is not, "Here am I, send me," then I don't really care if I do it right or not, right? So I want you to be able to build with confidence. Build your house with confidence. God will show you if it's not right. And He might be speaking to you already. He has ministered to me in that way. We are all building. And God wants, Paul exhorts us to take heed on how we build. This building's foundation that we're talking about today is Jesus Christ. I'm not talking much about the foundation, but the foundation is Jesus Christ. Listen, if you don't start on that foundation, you have no foundation. Being born again, surrendering your heart and life to Christ, is how you get onto this foundation. Otherwise, you don't have a foundation. Fire won't even have to try your foundation, or try your building. According to Jesus, it says the wind will come and blow it, and it'll just blow down. It don't even need a fire. So this morning, you need a foundation, and it is Jesus Christ and Him alone. So we need the right foundation. What does it mean that Jesus is the foundation? What does this mean to you and I? It doesn't just mean that I say that. It doesn't mean that I just say is where I am. Sorry, I'm. My mouth goes faster than than I'm thinking here. It's not just what I say, but it's revealed by my deeds. What is the foundation of my life? Can I say, can I get on my face before God with this book and tell Him to show me whatever He wants? And I say, yes, Lord. Amen. I'll do it. Or is there something that we're not, is there something in your heart that you already know, you kind of already know, and you don't really want God to touch that part of your life? If we can say, yes, Lord, we're up on the right foundation. The house will stand. It will stand firm. Take heed on how we build. I'm going to read 12 to 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. And I think in Hebrews it told us, or we will be found naked. What are we building with? Gold? What happens when fire, when gold is tried in fire? It gets stronger, don't it? It gets purer. You will not suffer loss if you're building with gold. If your heart is saying yes, Lord, to whatever His will is, you're building with gold. And it doesn't get better by that. Fire can come and try it, and it will only get stronger. It will not be weakened. Let's read Revelations 3:14 to the end. He was writing to I'm at the wrong chapter. He's writing to the Laodiceans here. And it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy gold of me, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and the door open, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This gold is not free. This gold that we're talking about is not free. It says, I counsel you to buy that gold. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. What can you buy gold with? More gold. So it's going to cost, it's something that is going to cost us something. I can't take my pocketbook out and buy it. So what is he talking about? it's going to cost us everything that we have. It will cost everything that you own, down to the very last penny in your wallet. Everything. You won't have anything that won't be affected by it. It will affect everything that you have, because it means everything. But think, do you want to be rich now, or do you want to be rich in glory? We have the opportunity today to decide that. Do you want your best life now, or do you want to be found naked in eternity? We choose by how we order our lives today. If we're building with gold, there will be no pride in our hearts. No pride at all. Humility. There will be no selfishness. None at all. You will always put God first. Now, as we're building together with God, will we make mistakes? We will. Will I ever have a selfish attitude? I hope not, but I know myself that I will. So as we're working together with God, God will show us those things if we're wanting to hear. He will show us those things. He wants you to be in glory far worse than you want to be in glory. Do you believe that? He wants you to get it right. He wants you to have a house of gold. And He's given you everything that you need to get it done. Same with me. It doesn't mean that we will make no mistakes. But if we're building with gold, we'll be building in humility. We'll be unselfish. We can go through the list of the fruit of the Spirit. That is what it is. That is what it means to be building with gold. There will be no envy. There will be no backbiting. There will be no strife. We'll be able to say like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." How is your house coming along? Silver tried in fire is going to lose a bit of its strength. Probably not quite as strong as gold. Precious stones, as we go on down the list, the value and the strength of them keep diminishing. But what happens with wood? What happens with when wood is tried in fire? It burns. All you have left is a heap of ashes. And we'll be naked if that is what we're building with in glory. Then we have hay and stubble. They have no resistance at all to fire. And I want to tell you something. There's no fire trucks in heaven. We have this idea that God can try my house, but I have water. No, you do not. The day will come when God tries our house with fire, we will know it's done right. It doesn't matter if I have a heap of ashes down here or if I have a mansion of gold, I will know it's right. And you will too. There's no fire trucks in heaven. When God tries our works with fire, we can watch and we will know that it is right. How will it be? Will we be clothed in heaven with white raiment, or will we be found naked in eternity? Verse 16, he tells us, we are the temple of God. I need to continue on. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. What happened to the high priest in the Old Testament when he went behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies with sin in his life? What happened to Uzziah when he touched the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of God's glory? They died. They died. You and I are the temple of God. The curtain has been rent. Jesus Christ is our high priest. How is it? We probably will not be struck down dead at that moment. But we are. It will get us. Can you imagine the high priest going into the holies of holies in the latest fad? Can you imagine that? Do you think he would come out alive? Why in the world do we think we can? What if he's not dressed properly? Some of his nakedness is showing. You think he'd come out alive? Absolutely not. What do you think it would happen? Now, this might sound a little funny, but if he'd come driving up to the temple with his big souped-up pickup truck. You know, we're living in 2020. We're not living back there. We're not coming around with donkeys and horses like they did back then. Come around with vehicles. Do you think maybe he'd come out alive? I'm afraid not. This is the temple of God. How do I think that I can do them things and be fine? It will not happen. It will not happen. We can start well. And maybe we have started well. Maybe we slid back a little bit. But it's not those who start well. We need to end well. And that is my heart's desire for all of us. It really is. I want you all to end well. I don't want you to be scared of God's holiness and glory. I think all of us, if we was in the Old Testament, and it was me that had to go behind this curtain, I think it would bring a fear, a sense of fear in my life, knowing that I could be struck down back there. I think that in each one of our lives, that there's none of us living here today that could say, yep, I'm ready to go. That's not what I'm talking about. There is a reverence and a fear of God that we need to have. We need to have that. We can't just ignorantly go say, yep, I'm ready. But if there's that thing that you're thinking about now that you wonder if God would accept it or not, if you would go back there in the Holy of Holies, that thing probably needs to go, whatever it is. I'm sorry. There's more here that we could share out of. He says in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. What do you and I consider wise? What do you and I consider wise? Do we consider the men of God that know this book and live their lives according to this book? Are them our heroes? Are them the people that we count wise? Or do I think that Google is where I go get my knowledge, where I go get my wisdom? You know, God says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, he tells us. Who are our heroes? What are we building with? Those using the first three materials, what will they be doing after? What will they be doing? What will their work be that we're using the gold, silver, and precious stones? What Brother Alan is doing, what Brother Paul is doing, what Brother Danny is doing, what Brother Ruben and all of you, sorry if I didn't say your name, but what you are doing might be different from one from another, except you'll be following this. That is how we build with gold, silver, and precious stones. That is how we build. We're building a house in glory. Is it, in your mind, is it just the elders or just Brother Dale Hygie and a few people that can reach that? No. God wants you all. It doesn't matter how old you are here. God's desire is that you reach it. No, you might not be a preacher. That's fine. Faithfulness is what God wants. Faithfulness. That is what we build with. Faithfulness. What about the last three materials? I'm not sure. I can't tell you what God's line is. It doesn't tell me exactly where that is. And I don't know that I really want to find out. The fact is, you know, if we... In God's kingdom, it works a little different than any other way. In God's kingdom, there's a bullseye, and that is holiness. I probably can't even spell it now. Anyhow, right here, if we're shooting for here, there's a good chance we'll hit it. But you know, if I really don't care and I'm shooting for over here, there's no chance at all that you'll hit it here. It'll be way out over here somewhere. If you're not aiming for God's best in your life, you know, you might have some stubble and burns up and you might make it. I don't know. I don't know where God's line is. But if you're not aiming for here, you're aiming for over here, you won't hit the mark at all. You'll be outside of that. You'll be outside of that. If you're aiming for stubble, you won't make it. It just won't happen. So today, I encourage you all, build with gold. Let's build with gold. Let's help each other. Is there strife in my heart? Is there envy in here? Am I proud? Let's help. Let's help each other. You can't take the pride out of my life. You can't make this house be gold. You can't do it. But you can help me. You can help me show, you can show me the errors of my ways. And we need to. And I'm so blessed with the ones that committed, the opening up their lives. But there's also a challenge that I want to give you. The opposite is also required. You need to also come to me if you see something here. Or it won't work. So may God help us. I love you all. Let's be striving, studying, and laboring to be accepted of God. God bless you.